resurrection. So before I go holding anybody else's sins against
you've
them,
been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. This is 99.7 FM Baraboo. 103.7 FM Reedsburg. AM 740. And streaming live everywhere.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Sometimes in the darkness, God can look like a monster. But when you stand with Jesus, then you can trust that love moves the story.
The book of Job describes all the terrible things that befell a man named Job, and God let it happen. Dr. Michael Ziegler helps us see his story in the light of Christ today on the Lutheran Hour. And later, author and professor Dr. Tim Seleska shares insights into the book of Job. I'm Mark Eicher, and you're listening to what is, by God's grace, the world's longest-running Christian broadcast, now in our 92nd season. The Lutheran Hour is also listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and prayers help to bring Christ to the nations and the nations to the church, go to LutheranHour.org. Now here is our speaker, Dr. Michael Ziegler.
So I set my carry-on bag down on the conveyor belt at the airport security checkpoint. Inside the bag, there were 7 books, hardback books, thick books. Some of the books were over 700 pages long each. On the other side of the checkpoint, I'm waiting, and I notice the TSA agent. He does a double take. He looks at the bag through the machine, looks over at me, looks back at the bag, then at me again and says, "You doing a little light reading?" "It's for an illustration," I told him. See, I'd been invited to speak to a group of college students, and I needed an illustration. I'd racked my brain for an example of an epic length story that illustrated the drama of character development, transformation that occurs through conflict, war, and conspiracy, in which character is tested and sacrifice required, and things are not what they seem. And it needed to be a story most college students would know. So I went down to our basement, to the shelves that housed the stories we'd read to our children over the last 20 years, and pulled from them all 7 books of the Harry Potter series, which you may or may not have read, but it definitely connected with the college crowd. So at the beginning of this talk, I stacked up all 7 books, cover to cover, on a stool up front to visually give a sense of just how long this story is. It's 4,100 pages long from start to finish, just over 1 million words. And if you read it, if you walked through this million-word wilderness that the author, J.K. Rowling, paints for us at the end, after you've read 4,099 pages, on the second-to-last page, she has one more surprise in store for you. You learn that Harry, the main character, 19 years later, has named his second child after his former enemy. You learn that the middle name of his child is Severus, after Professor Severus Snape, a character who, for most of the story, seems to be a monster who hates Harry, treats him like an enemy, causes him to suffer, even murders the man who'd become like a father for Harry. You read this penultimate page of the story and think, he named his son after Professor Snape? But then you do a double take, and it fits. Everything fits. Because over the quarter century that the story spans, you've suffered the transformation of this man, Professor Snape, who goes from zero to hero in our eyes, from monster to mentor. And now Harry, 19 years later, sadder but wiser, tells his son that he's named after probably the bravest man I ever knew. Now, to adequately communicate the transformation, how it happens, it takes a million words. But standing at the end, you could say it in just one. Love. Self-giving, sacrificial love is what moved the story from beginning to end. Love is what makes us see Professor Snape differently in the end. Now, the point of the illustration for this talk I was giving to these college students was to give an account of how Christians can listen to the Old Testament book of Job, because in the book of Job, God can look like a monster. Job's story, if you've read it, is a story about suffering and also conflict and spiritual warfare and conspiracy in which things are not what they seem. But for Job, it's mostly about suffering. And as far as he can tell, God is the singular cause of it. And yet somehow, through it, Job still holds on to his faith in God. Although through the ordeal, Job definitely gives God a piece of his mind, and he says some pretty nasty things about God. Job, come to think of it, is basically everything you can say to God's face and still live. And that's why so many people love the book of Job. They love Job, but God, not so much. The book of Job is the part of the Bible in which it proves hardest to be on God's side. Mark Twain could have been referring to Job when he said that the Old Testament's depiction of God was perhaps the most damnatory biography that exists in print anywhere. And if all you had to know about God was bad press from the book of Job, love for God would be in short supply. But terror and resentment and rejection of him would pile up like old newspapers in a hoarder's basement. Job starts his suffering stoically and piously, but eventually he cracks. Job says that God is treating him like an enemy. He says God hates him. He calls God cruel and pitiless. He accuses God of laughing at the innocent as they suffer. Job, at his lowest, paints God like some kind of monster. And maybe you've been there with Job, surrounded by piles of damnatory press about God. If you have been there, or if you're there now, you're not alone. Others have been there. I've been there. But here's what I've found. Rejecting God in that place doesn't help, because you still have to cope with the bad news. None of the suffering goes away. But without God, you have to put yourself in the place of God. And then all the bad news gets shipped to your doorstep, piles up out front. It doesn't make suffering any easier if you reject God. But there is another word from God when you're suffering. There is good news, because the story doesn't lead to your doorstep, but to Jesus and his cross, to his innocent suffering and death. All that bad press got buried with Jesus. And even if it doesn't seem like it sometimes, you can trust it, because Jesus is risen from the dead. In him, God is writing a better story for you and with you, because he loves you and wants to give you his name. Sometimes in the darkness, God can look like a monster. But when you stand with Jesus at the end of this million-word wilderness, then you can trust that love moves the story. Listen for it with me in that light. Listen to the beginning of the book of Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and turned away from evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, as well as a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. And his sons, they would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day. And they would send and invite their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And so it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, Job would send and sanctify them. He would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did regularly. Now there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and turns away from evil?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, but do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when the sons and daughters of Job were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said to him, "The oxen were plowing in the field, and the donkeys were feeding alongside them, when the Sabaeans came and raided them, took them away. Indeed, they killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans, they formed three bands and raided the camels. Indeed, they killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, when suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I have come from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God with wrong. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil and still He holds fast to his integrity, although you have incited me against him to destroy him for no reason. Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But now stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and he struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And Job took for himself a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself as he sat in the midst of the ashes. And his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Job answered and said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not also accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now, Job's three friends, when they heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, for they had made an appointment together to come and to mourn with him and to comfort him. But when they lifted up their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. And they sat with him on the ground for 7 days and seven nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. That's the opening of the book of Job. The rest is mostly a long poem, a series of poems. Job and his friends have a battle of poetry over the causes of Job's suffering. Job's friends blame Job. Job blames God. In the end, God answers Job with his own poem. But it wasn't the answer Job wanted. God asked Job about 100 rhetorical questions, all of which Job would have to answer, no, no, I'm not creator. No, I'm not the author of this story. I spoke of things I did not understand, Job says. Things too wonderful for me. Daniel, a friend of mine, tells me that he went through a Job-like experience when he was in high school. He was living a fairy tale sort of life when one day the bottom dropped out. Everything fell apart. His guidance counselor at school knew that Daniel was a Christian, and he encouraged Daniel to read the book of Job, but not because he wanted to strengthen Daniel's faith, but to destroy it. He wanted Daniel to curse God, to slander and reject God. One night, Daniel took his advice. He read the whole book of Job from start to finish, all 42 chapters in one sitting. There's an illuminating passage from another part of the Old Testament, from 2 Samuel chapter 22. It says that people will see in God what they bring to God. To the crooked, God looks torturous. To the proud, God looks like a monster. But to those who need mercy, God shows himself merciful. To those who are broken, God is Savior. Daniel came to Job that night broken. He saw Job's story from the end of the Bible's million-word wilderness. Daniel sat in the darkness with Job with just a little light of Christ, and he says that it saved his faith. Now, I recognize the hazard of bringing out all those Harry Potter books for the talk I did with those college students that day. It's possible that later in the day when someone asked, what was the talk about? They might have said, he said God was like Professor Snape. But here's the analogy I hope they made, and I hope you'll make. If a fictional story can transform the way we see an enemy, how much more can the story of Jesus transform our doubt into faith? Even when God's ways are shrouded in darkness and mystery. When the Harry Potter books first came out in the early 2000s, I read them all aloud to my wife. A decade later, when our kids were older, we listened to them all over again. But then I read them in light of the end and saw even more the second and third time around. But it didn't displace the mystery. The book of Job is not light reading, but Christians read it in the light of Christ. Although for us, the end still remains something of a mystery. Some Christians say that Job's ending seems cheap, like it doesn't fix anything. Some Christians say it seems promising, like a glimpse of the end, when Jesus returns to raise the dead and restore our losses. Some say it's a test, and what you see in it reveals your wisdom. So here it is. Listen. See how you respond. In Job chapter 42, in the end, we learn that God accepted Job. God accepted Job even though Job had said all that nasty stuff about God, and God defended Job. God was angry with Job's friends who had blamed Job. God told them they were wrong. They didn't speak the truth about God like Job did. Then God tells Job to pray for his friends. And even though they said all that nasty stuff about him, Job did pray. And God accepted them too. Then God restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, God gave Job double from what he had before. And all of Job's brothers and all his sisters and all who had been his acquaintances from before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they comforted him and consoled him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. And each one brought him a piece of silver, and each one a ring of gold. And God blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. For Job had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And also, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he called the name of his first daughter Jemima. And he called the name of the second daughter Keziah. And he called the name of the third Keren Hapuk. And in all the land, there were no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his children and his grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died, old and full of days.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. For free online resources, archived audio, and more, go to LutheranHour.org. Once again, here's Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thank you, Mark. Today I'm visiting again with Dr. Tim Seleska, a professor at Concordia Seminary. Thanks for being back here with us, Tim.
Really happy to be here, Michael. Thanks.
So we're talking about Job still, and you and I recently got to be a part of this live dramatic reading of Job at Concordia Seminary. Tim, I wanted to ask you, what was your response to hearing that?
Well, first of all, yeah, I was thankful just to have that, my really small part, my introduction. But I thought it was amazing, and I was totally shocked and surprised by how powerful it was.
If you wanted to listen to that or watch the video, just search Book of Job, Dramatic Reading, Concordia Seminary on any search engine, and it should pop up. Just look for the website that ends in csl.edu. Job's a complex book, but one thing at least is clear is that Job isn't happy with his friends, and we learn at the end, neither is God.
At the beginning of the book, remember when Job is sitting in ashes, scraping his boils, his friends sit with him in silence. Wonderful
7 days.
Friends.
Yeah.
It's only when they start opening their mouths that they have problems, because rather than trying to empathize with Job, they try to get God off the hook and explain God's ways to him and give him advice, basically, to put it bluntly, how to get God off his back or how to get on God's good side again.
Yeah, you hear him say that in chapter 6, verse 14. To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. So what is Job asking for there?
It says really an interesting thing that when people are in pain and suffering, the most important thing is that you sit kindly with them no matter what their state of mind is or their mood or what they're saying. Be able to put yourself in their shoes a little bit and minister to them from that perspective, rather than this need we sometimes have, often have, to say the right things and appear good to God.
The person who voiced Job in this reading that we were talking about, the way he spoke that line, the even though, like he's kind of saying, look, I know I'm talking probably above my pay grade here, but just bear with me here, suffer with me.
Yes. So he had stopped talking like, quotes, wise men talk. And that concerned his friends because they're used to working within this piety.
Later, then, Job actually gives some advice to his friends about how they could have been better friends. If we could imagine being better friends to someone like Job, what would that look like?
That one of the lessons you get with Job is that the friends, in spite of their terrible speech, were willing to sit with Job. They didn't react well, but they never left him. So I think that it's really important to, with a friend, that sometimes you have to walk a long way with them. As they begin to speak from their hearts, then that gives you an opportunity to respond in a way that will be helpful to them.
What I hear you saying is that we are, in that way, embodying the gospel. We are God's person present in the moment to speak that love for them. Well, would you be that embodied voice for our listeners and give them the blessing after I lead us in praying the Lord's Prayer?
Of course, I'd be happy to.
Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.
The Lutheran Hour is made possible through the support of faithful listeners like you. To learn how your prayers and gifts can extend the worldwide outreach of the Lutheran Hour, go to LutheranHour.org. And join us next week when guest speaker Dr. Dan Pavla says God's Word grows like a perfect garden, bearing fruit in every season. Our theme music is by Peter Prochnow, Emily Rogers, and Alicia Enstrom. I'm Mark Eicher. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.
You've been listening to the Lutheran Hour, brought to you weekly by Trinity Lutheran Church at 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells. Worship Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Family Bible Study Hour is at 8:30 a.m. on Sundays.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Light north winds and highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, upper 50s, close to 60 degrees. Monday, mostly sunny and lower 80s. Some storms Monday night. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 72 at our studios.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant joining you on Sunday morning. Don't forget, you can shop local and save big at MaxFMBigDeals.com. Get an extra 10% off everything in the store today with the code AMERICA. AMERICA. Get an extra 10% off everything over at MaxFMBigDeals.com. Shop local and save big. Deep Blue Something on Max FM.
You'll say we've got nothing in common, no common ground to start from, and we're falling apart. You'll say the world has come between us, our lives have come between us, still I know don't care. And I said, what about breakfast at Tiffany? She said, I think I remember the film. Unless I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing we got.
got nothing in common. No common ground to start from. And we're falling apart. You'll say the world has come between us. Our lives have come between us. Still I know. She said, I think I remember the film. And as I recall, I think we both kind of liked it. And I said, well, that's the one thing we got.
Like a long walk through the woods on a sunny day. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
Meet you all the way, Roseanne again. 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM.
We'll be right back. life you kill. The priest is on the throne. Your father hit the wall. Your mom disowned you. Don't suppose I'll ever know. So me to be a man or something I can change. I live around here. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you slide? Nothing but a fall. Oh, man. Put your arms around me. What you feel is what you are. What you are is beautiful. Oh, man. You wanna get married or run away? Nothing that falls. Oh, man. Put your arms around me. What you feel is what you are. What you are is beautiful. Oh, man. If you wanna get married or run away. I wanna wake up where you are.
Seven Max FM.
The world and everything you ask to brace yourself. Cause grace and peace You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable. You're unbelievable. Unbelievable.
80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. This is Dave Grant. I'm going to head on out. I'll be back with you after 4 o'clock. Coming up after 12 p.m. will be Kid Kelly and Backtracks USA 80s, followed by Backtracks USA 90s at 2 p.m. Coming up, a look at weather and our 50-minute music hour continues on Max FM.
At Pizza Ranch and Beer Boo, we serve up more than just food. We serve fun. From our all-you-can-eat buffet with pizza, chicken, and sides to our Fun Zone Arcade, there's something for everyone. And the deals? Oh yeah. Tuesdays are kids' night, Thursdays are wing night, and $12.99 buffets Sunday through Thursday from 7 to close. Find us at 916 Gateway Drive in Baraboo or call 608-448-2215. Pizza Ranch, come hungry, leave happy.
With a look at some of the upcoming area events, here's your Max FM community calendar. In addition to the Sauk County Fair, so many events going on throughout the area. Be sure to check out SaukCountyFair.com for all the details about each daily event and the grandstand show. Some of the other area events include Bagpipes in the Glen, the fundraiser at Durwood's Glen. This event will be held Saturday night, July 12th, 3 until 7 p.m. Join for music, bagpipers, food, and drinks. The entry fee is $20 per car. Parking is limited, so please carpool if possible. This is an outdoor event at Durwood's Glen. Don't forget to bring your blankets and lawn chairs. Music will begin at 3:15, continue at 4:30, and then 5:45. Again, this is Saturday, July 12th. It's Bagpipes in the Glen, the fundraiser for Durwood's Glen. And the Baraboo Area Senior Citizens Organization is going to be hosting a Brat Fry. This is going to be on Saturday, July 12th in Reedsburg from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. at Viking Village BP. Brats, hot dogs, burgers, and so much more. Credit cards are accepted. Again, this will run from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. in Reedsburg at the Viking Village BP. It's a Baraboo Area Senior Citizen Organization Brat Sale. All the details about the organization and the Brat Fry can be found at booseniors.org.
Hi, this is Rhonda, an account executive at Civic Media, and you're listening to me on 99.7 Max FM. If you can hear me, so can your customers. Contact me about advertising at 608-340-2177 or email me at rhonda@max.fm.
Big deals!
It's the final day of the Max FM Big Deals 4th of July sale. Time is almost up. Through midnight, get an extra 10% off everything in our store with promo code AMERICA at checkout. Restaurants, retail, summer getaways. The deals are sizzling, but they're almost gone. Go to MaxFMBigDeals.com and use the promo code AMERICA at checkout before the clock strikes 12. Don't miss out at Max FM Big Deals.
Max FM Weather, sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Sunday. Light north winds and highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, upper 50s, close to 60 degrees. Monday, mostly sunny and lower 80s. Some storms Monday night. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. It's 72 at our studios.
Your hometown station.
Roma, Roma, Roma.
I want your love.
Roma, Roma, ma, gaga, ooh la la, what's your bad romance?
This is 99.7 FM Baraboo, 103.7 FM Reedsburg, AM 740, and streaming live everywhere.
Backtracks USA, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today.